And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week I preached on the first and the third readings. I thought they were very parallel. I remember last week the first reading was about the conversion of St. Paul, and the third reading was about the restoration of St. Peter, two important men in the Lord's work in the first century, different men. Paul coming from being an enemy of the gospel to becoming a believer, and Peter, of course, being a believer who had made great promises that he didn't keep and restored by the Savior. So two readings, I thought, two men I wanted to focus on. This week, my attention was drawn to the first and the second readings. And I would say it this way, if last week was two readings, two men, this week it's two readings, two churches. Two readings, two churches. Our first reading is from the book of Acts, the second one from the book of the Revelation of John. Here's the two churches. The first one is the one you're part of, and that's what I'm going to call this church. And when I say this church, I don't mean Mount Olive. I mean the church on earth, the church of everybody around the globe. This is what I want us to notice about the book of Acts. It goes this way. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, life of Jesus, his life, his teaching, his ministry, but importantly, his death, his resurrection, right? So this is what the Gospels are saying. The death and the resurrection of Jesus brings into being the church, right? So it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, next book, Acts, right? The life, the death, the ministry of Jesus, but most importantly, his resurrection, his being seen by the disciples, calls into being the church. That's why Acts. The early church, I always want to remember this, they were bold proclaimers of the gospel. Bold proclaimers. I want to remember this, that the disciples, fearful, hiding for their lives, they saw Jesus alive, and that changed it, right? They preached Christ. If you read the book of Acts, you'll find that they go into some towns and they were well received, and when they were well received, they preached Christ. But take a guess at this. When they were not well received, what did they do? They preached Christ. If they were persecuted, you know what they did? They preached Christ. And there were times the government actually hauled them into the mayor's office and said, "You will never preach in this name." You know what they did? They preached Christ. That's the church on earth. When I say this church, the church around the globe, all the redeemed, I want us to catch this. Lutherans, Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, Calvinist, yes, those are hard to deal with, I know. Charismatics, non-denominationals, all the redeemed, right? Around the entire globe. I probably should pause and say, I do think the reason we're Lutherans, I think our doctrine is a smidge more scriptural, right? But let's get this. That Lutherans, Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, and even the difficult Calvinists are the redeemed. How many churches are there on earth? One. We say it in the Creed. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. Isn't it great? The Creed does not say, I believe in a fractious, divided list of denominations. Thanks be to God, it doesn't say that. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That's the older word, Christian, in Lutheran hymnals. The old theologians always called this church, church on earth, this church right here. They always called it the church militant. I don't love the phrase. I just wanted you to have heard the phrase. I just want to say this. I don't think you were called to be militant. They meant the church militant, battling it out. I get it. But the Bible doesn't say militant. It does have a word. Regularly, in the Bible, it has a word for you. That word is bold. Bold. Not obnoxious. Not arrogant. Not puffed up. Bold. Acts 4:29, the disciples were being persecuted. They prayed to the Lord this, "Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." You hear it? To preach Christ with great boldness, no matter the circumstances. St. Paul, arrested in house arrest, Acts 28, verse 31. Last verse of the whole book of Acts. Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You are a part of this church, the church on earth, the church of the book of Acts, the church of people who are on earth. If this is one of the churches, what's the other church? That one. That was Revelation. The Gospels, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus calls into being the church, the book of Acts, this church on earth. So who's in that one? The loved ones that you miss, right? The loved ones you miss who died in the faith. We need to say it that way. It is not true that all dogs go to heaven. Everybody who died in faith in Christ is in the church triumphant. In the season of Easter, the first reading is always Acts. That makes the point. Life, death, resurrection of Jesus, the book of Acts, the church. In year C, that's the year we're in now, the second reading is always the Revelation. Always, for the rest of the season. The Revelation. It's a revelation of the glory of Jesus Christ, but it's a revelation of that church in heaven. Christ, and Revelation portrays this for us, Christ is victorious. We have to know that, victorious. We have to say victorious because in his life, Jesus was born to a carpenter. He lived as a peasant, and some people hated him, and eventually they killed him. It doesn't seem so victorious. But he rises from the dead, and where is he now? Reigning. Right? Reigning. The Lord Jesus is victorious and reigning in heaven. Who's there with him? The saints that you miss. The ones that we love, that were part of this church, where are they now? In that church. And both these churches exist at the same time. In our second lesson, there are three paragraphs. I want us to notice three things about it. The first one is this, the universality of the church. Parallels what I said about Baptists, Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, and Calvinists. The text says there was a multitude that no one could count. How many believers live in heaven? A multitude you cannot count. The first believers, Adam and Eve, they're there. Everybody from the Old Testament who is even looking forward to the Christ, Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Deborah, all the people looking forward to the Christ and all the people who have died who believed in the Christ are there. How many? Lots. That's the technical term, right? Lots. But I love this phrase. From every nation, tribe, people, and language. I want us to hear that. From every nation, tribe, people, and language. What does the church look like? The church, the whole church. We have to say this, the church consists of every color and culture. The church, every color and culture. How many churches? One. But we need to acknowledge this. In this world, we have made race complicated. And sometimes people say things that aren't quite right. I don't think we're called to be naive, and here's what sometimes people say. There's one race, the human race. I know what they mean. I think it misses by a little bit. Yes, all people are part of the human race. But do the races exist? Yes. And here's the fun part. How come? It's very simple. God made them. God made the diversity of the palate, right? God looks at it, and he's not saying, I want to blend everybody into a mishmash. He's saying, I like the diversity. The color, the culture, the history, the language, united in one church. We goof it up a lot. In the church, we goof it up sometimes. But I do want to say this. With that biblical vision, isn't it wonderful when we get it right? When we get it right, it's a beautiful thing, and it's exactly what God intended for every nation, tribe, people, and language to be brought together under the banner of Jesus, the victorious one. The universality of the church, I want us to get this, the joy of the church. The joy of the church, the joy of that church. Whenever you go to Revelation, do you know what they're doing? It's really, you can say it in one word. What are they doing? Singing. Singing. Don't raise your hands, but here's a question. Who likes singing? Right? We like singing. I'm going to spend a moment in confession with you and say this. When I was a little boy, I loved singing. And when I was a teenager, I stopped singing. Why? Because I was too cool. You know what I'm saying? It's weird to sing in public. It's weird to sing with people around you. What will they think of me? Am I on tune? By the way, not all of us are. I was too cool to sing in public. Now I'm not cool. I can sing again. I don't mean this as a rebuke to anyone at all. If you don't sing in worship, give it a try. It's nice. It's a beautiful thing. Most of you aren't that cool anyway. You don't have anything to lose. You might as well get used to it, by the way, because you know what goes on in heaven? A lot of singing. I decided to look them up. I'm going to read them real quick. But, you know, in the hymnal, whenever there's a hymn is listed in the hymnal, it's the name of it is the first few words. I've always taught in sermons and in Bible classes that there's a lot of hymns of praise in Revelation. This week I decided to write them all down, and not the whole thing, but just the way we do hymn titles, just the first few words. Guess how many there are? 18. 18. So I want us to hear what we'll call the hymn titles of heaven. Here they are. Chapter 4, verse 8, holy, holy, holy. 4:11, you are worthy. 5:9, you are worthy to take the scroll. 5:12, worthy is the Lamb. 5:13, to him who sits on the throne. 7:10, salvation belongs to our God. 7:12, amen, praise and glory. 11:15, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. 11:17, we give thanks to you. 12:10, now have come salvation and power. 14:8, fallen is Babylon the Great. 15:3, great and marvelous are your deeds. 16:5, you are just in these judgments. 18:2, fallen is Babylon the Great, part 2. 19:1, hallelujah, salvation, glory, and power belong to our God. 19:5, amen, hallelujah. 19:5, praise our God, all you his servants. And 19:6, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. You hear what they're singing? I just wanted to know that because some people say Revelation is scary. Yes, there's parts of it that are scary. What are the saints in heaven doing? Singing. So if we have the universality of the church and the joy of the church, I want us to get this, the victory of the church. And I want us to get this, Christ is victorious, so the victory of the church is not our victory, not our strength, right? Not our battle, but Christ's victory has been what made yours. See, Christ is victorious, he makes it yours. I love this. All those people are singing. And so the angel says to John, who are these people and where do they come from? And John says, I don't know. You know. And he says this. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. Now, some Bible believers or Bible teachers will say there's this period of time called the Great Tribulation, 7 years, horrifying time at the end of time. I don't think that's correct. Because John is in the first century and there's people already there that have been said, these are they who have come out of the Great Tribulation. It's not future tense, it's, do you know what it is? These are they who have come out of the Great Tribulation. What have they come out of? Just life. Life in all of its joys, but all of its difficulties. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. His victory is theirs. So, but this is what I want us to catch. Two readings, two churches. This church, that church. We are to look at that church and be fueled by it for now. That's the point of these texts. That's why they're together. Christ is victorious. So his church is victorious. His church in heaven sees that and sings about it. So what should this church be like, you see? Christ's victory is our victory. So do we live victoriously? I think that's important. Do we live victoriously? Now, I want us to catch this. Victorious does not mean the same thing as the guys teach that are teaching the prosperity gospel. That's not right. Paul lived victoriously. Paul preached boldly. And what happened to Paul? Paul was one time beaten up so badly they dragged him out of town and thought he was dead. Does that sound victorious? It doesn't mean prosperous. It means victorious because he overcomes in Christ. How victorious was Paul? When Paul was arrested and put in prison, what did he do? He sang. That's cool, isn't it? That's cool. Can you imagine? I don't think this is coming, but if you imagine if Christianity was illegal in our country and they arrested us, what should we be doing? Singing in jail, right? Singing. I don't mean to say this in a rude way at all, but I do want to say it. You could not shut Paul up, right? You could not shut Paul up. He believed that the Lord Jesus was the Savior, was dead for the sins of the world and risen again, and he was going to preach about it. And he's going to sing about it. Here's a fun little passage in Acts chapter 20 that Mandy read a few moments ago. He says, I know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. You see it? He's living victoriously even though he knows what's coming. Now, none of us here knows what's happening tomorrow, but we do know what's happening at the end, right? The Lord Jesus is victorious, so I will live today and tomorrow victoriously. Paul says, prison and hardships are facing me. What's he going to do? He's right, by the way. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's saying this in Ephesus. This is a church that he's planted. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to get arrested. He's going to get released. He's going to get rearrested. He's going to get executed. And he lived victoriously through all that. And he has this funny phrase. He says to them, I'm never going to see you again. And although he's telling the Ephesians, I'm never going to see you again, you know what they get from him? A letter. Right? The book of Ephesians is after this. He says, I'll never see you again. So he wrote them a letter. It's a wonderful book. You should read Ephesians. It's a short, 6-chapter little book. Guess where he wrote that letter? In prison. In prison. So there's two churches. There's this church, the church on earth, the bold church. There's that church, the church in heaven. They see by sight what we believe by faith. But this is why this is in the Bible. Why is Revelation there? So that that church will what? Fuel this one. To fuel us. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.